You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Justin Tucker, the Ravens kicker, joins us on the program. Did you sleep last night, Justin?
It took a while to let the adrenaline subside, but I was able to get a couple hours before my wife and I got up and got our kiddo on the way to school. So, it's all good stuff, though. All good.
What are you thinking on the sidelines?
I'm just hoping to get the opportunity more than anything. And then the fact that we did and then we're able to come through, all of the stuff that goes with that kick at the end of the game. I mean, you just first and foremost, you want to, make the kick and win the game. And then, as we're lining it up, I kind of realize that we have a chance to make history right here. This could be pretty special. But, all that stuff going into the kick, all of the feelings, all of the thoughts, all of the emotions. And I know we've talked about this before, Dan. I've said it before that, your feelings in those moments don't matter. What matters is executing. What matters is seeing Nick Moore throw back a perfect strike with the snap, 12 o'clock laces that Sam can just spot quickly. What matters is, the other, eight guys, just holding their blocks just long enough to, help, to allow us to get the ball off in the first place. And then, just trusting my technique. And when you're that far away, you got to, both trust the technique and also sacrifice some of it to just power the ball, from 66 yards away. You got to put everything you can into it. So, it's thinking about the process, thinking about the action and not the consequence. And then, when it's all said and done, then you can let your feelings and your emotions take over and enjoy the moment and celebrate with your teammates and know that, what just happened was special. It was amazing to be a part of it.
Did you hear the ball hit the crossbar?
I did. It sounded, it sounded like what I feel like my stomach was doing, dropped inside of me. And I'm thinking that, I just didn't have enough to get it there. And sure enough, it bounced the right way. After having a couple of doinks in recent memory for myself that didn't go my way, to have that one yesterday afternoon, work in our favor is definitely a good feeling.
Where's the football?
It's upstairs right now. I just came down to get on this Zoom call with you. But it's upstairs right next to my backpack. I was holding on to that thing from the moment we kicked the ball. And one of our I said this yesterday, like in our post-game media availability, we've got an awesome group of firemen that work in and around our facilities, and they travel with us. Some of them travel with us on game days. But Avon is always down there under the goalposts to, retrieve the football. And he didn't even let it hit the ground, bounced off the crossbar. And I knew the kick was good, not after seeing it hit the crossbar and then, kind of fall over. But I saw Avon stick his hand straight in the air and, to signal that the kick was good and then also to catch the ball. So, Avon did an excellent job of, not just catching the football, but running it out to me, to give it to me. And then I said yesterday as well, Yancey, one of our other firemen, he prepares the K balls for Sundays. And then for us, throughout the practice week, they were like some of the first two people that were out there on the field celebrating with us. And it really can't be understated how important it just speaks to the importance of everybody within our Ravens organization. It doesn't matter if you're the starting quarterback or you're, one of the firemen helping with the menial day-to-day tasks. Every single one of those things, every single one of those little details, Yancey preparing the game ball to where it is serviceable, just serviceable enough to make it 66 and an eighth yards when it needed to. And then, you know, Avon just retrieving the ball and running it out to us. You know, it just speaks volumes to, you know, how our whole organization operates. You know, it's not just one guy. It's not just 11 guys. It's everybody, you know. So when that ball left my foot, it was like the whole organization, it was like the whole city was along for the ride. And, you know, I tried not to feel that in the moment, but it's impossible not to after the fact, to just, you know, really, really enjoy it.
Justin Tucker's 66 yarder clips Matt Prater's 64 yard field goal back in 2013 as the longest in NFL history. What does the Hall of Fame ask for? The ball, shoes?
They kind of asked. I just got off the phone with Chad Steele, Ravens, you know, media relations, and he asked me, "Hey, the Hall of Fame is asking for basically any and everything from the game that you would like to give them." And I'm having a tough time parting ways with any of it, just because, you know, there is some, I guess, some immediate sentimental value there. But they're going to get they're going to get my uniform from the game. I'm holding on to the ball. I feel like I really want to keep that. And then they want my cleats too, but they were a new pair this week, and I tend to try to make my cleats last at least 2 to 3 games, especially the black cleats, because they don't show dirt as much. So if I can get those guys to last me like 2 or 3 weeks, then, you know, maybe our friends in Canton, they can have them, you know, maybe like a month from now. But I mean, hey, all that stuff is, you know, all that stuff is all good and well. You know, if you're going to try to get, you know, every single piece that went into that one play on display in Canton, I don't think it's possible. You know, I mean, you're going to have to take, you know, Nick Moore's arms and Sam Cook's hands and every single glove of the lineman blocking for us just to give us a chance. I think you'd have to take Sammy Watkins' gloves and, you know, Lamar's arm and, you know, the defense just for, you know, hanging in there just long enough to, you know, just not giving up a touchdown at the end of the game and holding them to a field goal. And we have 64 seconds left. It's just, you know, again, it's just every single piece, you know, that you could think of should probably go into the hall along with, you know, whatever they want from me on my end.
If there had been a delay of game penalty, where there should have been a delay of game penalty, it would have been 71 yards. What would you have said to Coach Harbaugh attempting a 71-yard field goal?
I don't know if I would have said anything. I probably would have just run out there anyways and tried to give it a whirl, and all the while knowing in the back of my head that I don't think I quite have 71 in me today. But that's just the type of mentality that you have to have in a moment like that. You know, you just have to let the adrenaline take over and hope for a little divine intervention somewhere along the way. But hey man, like everything kind of happens for some serendipitous reason, right? I mean, the not calling of a delay of game penalty when it's what, like a second past the clock. I mean, like I can think of plenty of instances where, you know, it goes the other way. You know, when another team gets a break, that, you know, one could argue it should not have been there. That stuff happens in football. I don't think it takes away from how special that moment was for all of us anyways.
Well, congrats there, Justin, and good luck against the Broncos. I think you could probably do 71 in Denver.
I guess we'll have to see. That's why I'm not going to retire the cleats quite yet. You know, I think they might have some more. They might have some more
magic.
Big kicks.
Yeah. Hey, congrats. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate your time as always.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Let me bring in Maurice Jones-Drew, NFL Network analyst. He also is the Rams radio color analyst and a former running back. You can follow Maurice Jones-Drew on Twitter at MJD. Thursday Night Football continues this week. Jags-Bengals exclusively on NFL Network. How big was the Rams win yesterday, Mojo?
Oh, man. First of all, Dan, it's so glad to be back. It's been too long. You know, it's a beautiful thing, our relationship. It's like we never talk, and then once we talk, it's like we don't even miss a beat. But it was a huge win for the Rams. I thought Tom Brady and the Buccaneers are a very talented team. We saw them beat up on a lot of people, and they didn't have Antonio Brown or JPP yesterday, but the convincing win by the Rams offense was oof. Matthew Stafford looks really good. DeSean Jackson got into the fold, and then Cooper Kupp has been lights out the last 3 weeks. And, I mean, just wait until they get Robert Woods going and, you know, other guys. They got Tyler Higbee going last yesterday, which was really nice. And, I mean, again, it just is, it seems like Sean McVay is just kind of dialing up some really good plays that are working really well right now.
Barring injury, any concerns?
Not really. I think they have, you know, it's kind of a – they're all about their stars in L.A., right? So you have Matthew Stafford, Cooper Kupp, and then defensively you have Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey. They kind of play with them. Everyone else has a role after those guys. They're playing really well right now, very confident, and they're practicing well from what I'm hearing. And it's pretty good. It's a good mix of guys that are going with good coaching, and it's going to be exciting to see kind of how they've hit the injury bug a little bit. A couple guys have been nicked up, but they're doing a great job of keeping guys healthy and getting guys back.
How different is the offense, or at least the play calling, with Matthew Stafford as opposed to Jared Goff?
It's very different, but I think the biggest difference, a lot of people are going to say the arm talent. I think the biggest difference is Matthew Stafford's experience, right? Yeah, he has a strong arm. He can throw the ball over the yard, but there was a couple times yesterday where late in the play, he was checking the guys to a different play, right? And it wasn't a throw down the field. It might have been he saw a blitz and he checked to a quick screen, or he saw a blitz and he checked it to a quick pass, or he saw they were playing coverage and he checked to a good run. And so his experience of seeing a lot of defenses and knowing what people are doing and getting them out of a bad play into a right play is kind of what's been, like, really getting this team going. And so I think McVay's kind of given him the keys to the car, let him kind of do what he wants out there in certain situations.
Aaron Donald's fascinating because I know we talk a lot about edge rushers. I just think when you have a quarterback like Tom Brady, you know, a lot of these quarterbacks who are pocket quarterbacks, the pressure you put up the middle, now I force them out of the pocket, out of their comfort zone. I mean, it's hard to find guys like Aaron Donald, but man, when you do, there's just nobody like him. What do you see? Does he remind you of anybody you played against?
No, not anyone I've played against. I think the closest person you could think that's similar to his skill set is John Randall. Just quick off the ball, very strong, explosive. But the beautiful thing about Aaron Donald, where a lot of other guys don't, I mean, with his size and ability, you would say John Randall, but he lines up all over the line. So you can't slide and protect and, like, slide your protections to him, because sometimes he'll be on the right, sometimes he'll be on the left, sometimes he's in the middle. He's all over the place. And, you know, it's his work ethic and his leadership that I think, you know, they don't talk enough about. We always talk about his play. But being in part of the team and being around the team a ton, you see his leadership come into play a ton. And so his attitude, the way he goes about his business, the way he goes about his day, he's always ready to go. And so, you know, he finally got his sack against Tom Brady, a guy that he hasn't sacked in his career, which was good for him. And it was a huge play and a huge part of the game. There's sometimes, Dan, and it's crazy, you won't hear Aaron Donald's name for three quarters and 12 minutes of the game. And then he'll have a timely play at the end of the game to end it. And that's kind of that's the way he's been. Like, there's sometimes he'll dominate a whole game. There's other times they'll do a great job of getting after him, and then next thing you know, he comes in a crucial time and gets a strip sack fumble, the game's over.
You know how this business works, that everybody wants to have a referendum every Monday, that we know exactly what a team is going to be like or a player is going to be like. After what you saw with the Buccaneers, what would you say to Buccaneers fans after yesterday's performance?
Are you really concerned? Right. And they're going to stumble. Every team, I don't think there's going to be a team this year that's going to go undefeated. I mean, even as good as the Rams look, they still have to go through their NFC West play, which is a very tough division. After looking at that roster and watching the guys play, am I concerned? No, not at all. I mean, you didn't have Antonio Brown, like I said earlier. JPP's banged up. And you're getting reps. When those guys go down, your young guys are getting better and getting reps to play, which is going to help you in the long run. And so for me, it's like, wow, like these, they're going to be a tough opponent. It was a big game. It's going to have some playoff implications, possibly a home playoff game here at SoFi. But, I mean, the Bucs went on the road last year and won it all. So what's the difference?
Are you older than Brady?
Body-wise, probably. But, you know, he has a couple years on me. I mean, he's from the great outdoors. What do you expect? He's phenomenal. Can I say this? Because I know we're going to head to this. I have to. The NFL is like the greatest soap opera ever, right? You had this beautiful relationship with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, and it's like it turned toxic the last couple years, and then they had this crazy breakup, and it was just like so crazy. And then you finally get a chance to go back and like see your ex. But you're with your new boo now? Like, I can't wait to see this double date that's happening on Sunday night. Like, it is the best thing ever. I you can't draw up anything like this. Whoever decided, and then the best part is they did it early in the season, too. I wish it was a little bit later. I wish it was like November, right, where it's a little cold in Foxborough and you know, all that. But, man, this is going to be some of the greatest football we've had. Every Sunday night game has been awesome. The one last night was crazy. Aaron Rodgers goes back, you know, he hasn't been playing well. He's beefing with his girlfriend, and then the Niners tried to go get him, and it's just like, it's so – and you saw Matt LaFleur so upset. Like, it is so dramatic that it's like the best TV ever. It's literally like a soap opera for, like, the next, you know, 3 months, 4 months. It's just going to be amazing. I can't wait. It's just so much drama, so many storylines. It's so amazing.
Wait,
and, you know, I just didn't love it.
I got Brady – is Brady 8 years older than you?
8 years, yeah.
Wow.
I'm young, man. I'm still young and hip. And by the way, when am I going to be able to get in a movie with you and Adam Sandler? Right? When are we going to be able to make this thing work? I want to get in. I just want a cameo.
Oh, there's so many other running backs. There's so many other running backs, though, that are on the list, Mojo.
It's not about running backs. It's about my relationship with you and your relationship with Adam Sandler. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but, you know, I got Derrick Henry wants to be in the movie.
No, Derrick Henry, he's still playing. He don't get to do all that stuff. He doesn't have the history that me and you have. Don't bring this new hotness up. I've been with you for a long time.
Yeah, you know, who else, Paulie? Matt Forte?
Remember Fred Taylor called?
Oh, Fred Taylor wants in a movie.
But they're not as consistent as I've been with you. Right? Yeah. We've been consistent together for years. Don't do this. Throw our relationship away for, like, some short, like, hot date or whatever, you know, you guys have going on. This has been consistent. I've been loyal.
Brian Westbrook. Man, there's
there you go, throwing out all these names. You're trying to make me jealous.
So many. Yes, McLovin.
Remember Sandler had that spot for a slightly undersized running back, and it went to Darren Sproles.
Oh, that's right. Sproles got the role.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, Mojo.
Well, listen, that's the problem. You're not thinking about me right now. I don't like that. Like, I'm trying to expand my career as well. I'm always trying to get better, right? And then the next step is being with you in a movie. I just want to stand there. I mean, you're in a movie with Shaq. How hard is it not to get me in there?
Wait,
what is Shaq really doing that I haven't done?
Wow. You're calling out Shaq?
I mean, I'm not calling out Shaq. I'm just saying, you know, I would like to be in a movie as well.
All right, I'll see what I can do. All right.
Thank you.
I'll put it in again. How about this? Rams go to the Super Bowl. You're in.
Well, you know what? I would take that, but I literally have no control over what they do. But I like the Rams so much that I'm with that. Let's do it.
All right. Great to talk to you as always, Mojo.
Always good to talk to you as well.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Let's bring in Carson Palmer, the former NFL quarterback, of course, Heisman Trophy winner at USC. Can you explain the Kansas City Chiefs? Like, what is the philosophy, do you think, they have going into these games, including what happened against the Chargers?
Well, when you look at the sheer size of that defense, that's how they're built. They are built to be in a shootout week in and week out. I mean, just look at Tyrann Mathieu, who's one of the better safeties in the league. He's all 175 pounds dripping wet. You look at that linebacker core, they are built for speed. Now you got Chris Jones and some pass rushers up front, but they have designed and built that defense to run around and defend the pass. They're not going to get many games where they have to stop the run, where the opposing offense is going to carry the ball 40 times a game, because they're assuming their offense is going to be up some points.
You could have Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce as a quarterback. Who do you want?
I'd take Kelce, just because at the end of the day, what's most important is moving the chains. And anytime they get in third down, Kelsey's an automatic chain mover.
I brought this up a couple of times. I'm watching last night with Rodgers against the Niners. There's 37 seconds left. And I didn't know if that was enough time, because I thought, okay, San Francisco's either going to put pressure on Rodgers or they're going to make sure Davante Adams doesn't beat them. They did neither. How is that possible, Carson?
Aaron's that good. I mean, as much heat as he takes and the drama that comes and surrounds him, it seems, every offseason, he is that good. I mean, the ball he threw late over the middle to Devontae, where he just had enough touch on it over the outstretched fingers of the defender's hand. I mean, that ball is one of one. There aren't many other quarterbacks, if any quarterbacks in the league, that can make that pass.
Okay, but you know Davante Adams is his go-to guy. What kind of defense was San Francisco trying to play there?
Well, they were in zone. And early in the game, you saw them in man. And anytime they get man and Devontae's on the outside, they throw the ball over the top. They throw the ball to his back shoulder. I mean, he caught three or four back shoulder balls in that game. But they also threw three or four long, incomplete go balls over the top that they didn't complete. So as a corner, you just don't know what to do. You don't know if it's coming quick on your back shoulder. You don't know if he's airing it out and throwing it down the field. And they do just enough of both to where, as a defender, you have to be ready for that long ball, and you got to try to react to that back shoulder throw.
Yeah, but how about I double cover Davante Adams, right? Anybody else can beat me. If they do, congratulations. I can't let your best player beat me.
Yeah, but Devontae's so smart. Devontae's in the slot. Devontae's in short motions. He's a single receiver on a 3-by-1 formation. I mean, he's so good in that system and knows that system so well that LaFleur does a great job of moving him around, where you can't always double a guy. Now, if a guy's playing only backside or weak side receiver, you can double him because you know where he's going to be. You don't know where Devontae's going.
Do you know Rodgers at all?
Yes.
What can you tell us? Like, how would you describe him?
As just a guy, as a dude?
Yeah, well, I mean, you're watching him as a quarterback to a quarterback. Like, what is it that makes him so special? And then I want to ask you about him off the field.
Oh, I think he's the worst thing for a young quarterback like Mac Jones or some of these guys that come into the league, because you can't watch him. He will kill your confidence. You will watch him on film and see him do things and go, man, I know I can't do that. Do I have to be able to do that and throw that ball to be successful in this league? So the first thing I do with these young quarterbacks is say, watch as much film as you can. Do not watch any Green Bay film.
That's awesome. I've never heard that analysis, because everybody wants to try to replicate, you know, the best. And you would just say, look, remove that guy, and then you can try to emulate some of these other guys.
Watch as much film as you can. You shouldn't be watching ESPN or the Dan Patrick Show. You should be watching film and film and film. Just don't ever watch Green Bay film, especially from a fundamental and technique standpoint. I mean, he does so many things you're coached not to do as a young kid, as far as, you know, stepping into throws, being on balance, staying on platform. He throws so many balls off his back foot that he just flicks. And it's just, it's a confidence killer for a young quarterback.
What's he like off the field?
He's awesome. I love him. I play golf with him a bunch. I've been around him a bunch. He's very guarded. He needs to be very guarded. He's one of the most polarizing figures in probably all of sports. But to people that call him friends, everybody loves him.
Yeah, I always tell people that, you know, I played golf with him a couple of times and have been around him, and I've felt the sense of humor that he has. Like, you know, he can jab you, and, you know, it's like a boxer. He'll kind of hit, and then he'll back up a little bit, you know. But he's not for everybody. Would you say that that's true?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, he's extremely guarded. So if you're on the outside, you're on the outside. But he's funny. He's quick-witted. He's got way more interest than just football or sports. He's into a lot of different things. But like I said, I mean, so the guys that know him and guys that have been close and spent time with him, I don't know anybody that doesn't love him.
He's Carson Palmer, joining us on the program, former NFL quarterback, Heisman Trophy winner at USC. I was wondering about Sean McVay's role now with Matthew Stafford and how that's different for a head coach during a game with Stafford as opposed to Jared Goff.
I really don't think it's that far off. You know, they've come out and been so explosive and really just pretty. I mean, everything they do, it's pretty to watch.
But play calling, though, Carson, it felt like he was always in Jared Goff's ear, or we were given that impression?
I don't think so. I think you saw that early with Jared Goff, because those were really Jared Goff's first couple years in the league. Matt's got a lot more years. You know, I think Matt moves a little better than Jared, but they're really similar, you know, style quarterbacks. I thought, you know, Jared got a bad rap, but I thought Jared could flat out spin it. I mean, he really threw the ball well. Stafford throws it a little bit better. Stafford has way more experience. He's been in a lot of, you know, a lot more seasons, a lot more games. But at the end of the day, Stafford's older. You know, I think Goff's got a longer runway. He's going to probably play 3, 4, 5 more years after Stafford retires. And that was a lot to give up for a very similar style skill set player. But I think you're seeing it with Matt. I mean, Matt moves a little bit better. He's a little bit quicker. He does a better job getting outside the pocket than Jared did. But still, I mean, like I said, I thought Jared got a bad rap and took a lot of heat for what went down in L.A. But I think Jared can flat throw it.
Would you rather face Myles Garrett or Aaron Donald?
Ooh. I would rather face Myles Garrett, because at least you can step up in the pocket when he wins on the outside rush. But I played against Aaron twice a year for a long time when I was in Arizona, and he wreaks havoc inside the pocket. And I thought that was kind of a, you know, that's the thing that you've seen Brady struggle with. I was thinking the Rams were going to end up winning yesterday, because when Brady's had a difficult time, you know, back to the Super Bowls against the Giants, and some of the situations he's been in, where when he doesn't have a pocket to step up into, he's not going to beat you with his legs. Everybody knows that. But when he can't step up and accurately deliver the ball because he's stepping into throws and transferring his weight into throws, he's going to have a tough time beating you like he did yesterday against the Rams.
Yeah, I agree with you that Aaron Donald is so valuable just from that perspective of they line him up at different places, but that pressure up the middle, there aren't many guys who can do it. They can give you pressure, but they can't get to the quarterback. Like Haloti Ngata and some of those guys, like they put pressure, but they're not necessarily getting to you. Aaron Donald is a unicorn. Did you face anybody who was similar to Aaron Donald aside from Aaron Donald?
No, but I think it was one of our first games in Arizona back when the Rams were in St. Louis. We were, I think it was a division clinching game in St. Louis. It was really odd. The stadium was quiet. There was nobody there. There was really bad lighting in that stadium. And I got back to the huddle, and one of my good buddies, Lyle Sinline, was the center. And Aaron had just come on the scene. He was just drafted. And I think we're up a couple scores. It's the end of the fourth quarter. And we had heard of this Aaron Donald guy, but he wasn't a top 2 or 3 pick. You know, so there wasn't a lot of film on him. There wasn't a lot of talk about him. But I got back in the huddle and I started calling play, and Lyle looked up to me and said, "Don't call it. Don't call it." I'm like, "Why?" He goes, "I can't even see the guy, let alone block him." I'm like, "Who are you talking about? 99, 99. Don't call that inside zone play. I can't block him." And that was my first, like, you know, Aaron's welcome to the, welcome to the NFL moment. Cause then I went back and watched the film, and we didn't hardly block him at all. And you know, nothing's changed since that's, you know, game 6, 7, 8 years ago.
Okay, so how do you react when your center says, "Don't call that, I can't block the guy"?
I called an outside screen. I changed the play.
Did Donald get you that game?
He got me plenty of times that game. He's a problem. I mean, he is an absolute problem. And now, that was back before everybody knew, you know, how good he was. That was back when he was getting a lot of one-on-ones, single blocks. Now, entire game plans are built around him, so he's hardly one-on-one with anybody.
Can you hear an outside rusher going by you? Or do you just sense it?
No, it's something you just sense. I mean, it's kind of a sixth sense thing. You've been in that moment so many times and practiced that moment so many times. You know, it's so loud in there. And then, you know, you've probably got a coach still, you know, yelling something in your ear. And all that's going on around you, you just got to feel it and sense it.
Who's the best outside guy you faced?
Man, when I was young and came in the league, Strahan was a problem. I mean, he was so big. He was so physical and long. And that's the thing about Strahan, too, is he would bull rush you from the outside. And he had Justin Tuck and some other guys inside of him, so he was one-on-one. And he wouldn't necessarily beat you with speed around the pocket, but he would collapse the tackle into your lap. So kind of like Aaron Donald, he would shrink the size of the pocket just with a bull rush on the outside edge.
What do you see when you see Justin Herbert?
You know, I watched the Ram game or the Charger game, and I also watched who was the other game right before him? Oh, it was the Justin Fields game in Chicago. And the two differences I noticed, and aside from Justin Herbert being a physical specimen, I mean, he is just bigger, quicker, and has an absolute hose. But the way they protect him with the play calling was so different than what was going on in Chicago. You very rarely saw Justin Herbert with the Chargers drop back in a seven-step drop. Everything was off the run. If they were taking a long, deep drop, they were doing six and seven-man protections off of play action. And then they got the ball out really, really quick. When they were spreading people out, the ball wasn't in his hands past the three-step drop. I mean, before you knew it, he had the ball in shotgun. Boom, ball's out. Then you go and watch Justin Fields in that Chicago game. And they didn't do anything to protect him. So, you know, when I'm watching Justin Herbert play, I'm seeing a really, really good job. And he's not even that young anymore. I mean, Justin Fields is young. Justin Fields is in game one. Herbert's in year two, and they're still doing a really good job in L.A. of protecting him. Lots of long play action. They're running the ball effectively. They're throwing screens. And then they're getting in the quick game and getting the ball out of his hands. So I really like the way they're moving the pocket and adjusting the game plan to protect Justin Herbert, and vice versa. I don't like what they're doing in Chicago with Justin Fields. I mean, you know when he's dropping back by formation alone. So you're seeing defensive line pin their ears back and come after him.
Okay, but Carson, you're saying this. You're not even there. It feels like, how does Matt Nagy – it felt like it was irresponsible what the Bears did to Justin Fields.
Yeah. At the same time, though, I will say Justin Fields and the Chicago Bears don't have anybody that can win one-on-one outside. And so if you put Andy Dalton in that same situation, you don't have the ability for Andy Dalton to make something out of nothing like Justin Fields can. So they're in a tough spot in Chicago because they just don't have any winners on the outside. They don't have a true number one receiver that can just flat out win for you. So they got to get creative. And then they also have to account for the quarterback making something out of nothing, 3, 4, 5 third downs a game where they can do it with their legs. And Andy Dalton doesn't have that ability, but Justin Fields gives them that ability.
Are you all in on the Raiders?
I like them. I'll tell you what I like. I like two things. I'm not all in on the Raiders until they get to week 15, 16, 17. I'll tell you what I like, though. I really like that defensive front. That defensive front is stout. That defensive front can get after the passer a little bit. They don't have a true pass rusher. They got rid of Khalil Mack, obviously, but they got a lot of guys. They platoon in a lot of stout, salty defensive linemen. So they can stop the pass. They can stop the run. They can get after the passer. But the other thing I really like about them is Derek Carr is playing with a true toughness and a true grit that I really hadn't seen. And I don't think Gruden had seen it before, but you watch these last 2-3 weeks of watching him play. He's stepping into throws, taking one in the face. He's moving around the pocket late. He's not giving up and throwing the ball away. He's not getting in 2-minute situations and throwing the quick drag to get the ball out of bounds all the time. He's holding the ball in the pocket. He's taking hits and he's delivering it accurately down the field. And I hadn't seen that out of Derek Carr yet. So I'm really surprised and proud of the way he stepped in the pocket and played with a lot of grit.
You still have your Raiders jersey?
I do not have a Raiders jersey. My kids do, though. My kids still wear a number 3 Raiders jersey.
Yeah, but you don't have your Raider jersey.
I don't think. Do you have that?
You only gave me my jersey. No, too? I know. Do you have any memorabilia up in your house?
No, I've got pictures of my kids. I've got kids' toys. Yeah, no memorabilia.
No jerseys. No jerseys up.
No jerseys. No jerseys.
Damn.
So disappointing?
No, it's just surprising, I guess. I didn't know if you had a room and, you know, like your kids are old enough to know that dad played in the NFL, but take a trip. You don't strike me as taking a trip down memory lane.
We don't take a lot of trips down memory lane, but let me ask you this. How many bobbleheads do you have of yourself in your office right there?
A few of them.
Okay.
Yeah. I love me, Carson. I mean, I love taking a trip down memory lane. Let me tell you about the days at SportsCenter, you know, like, yeah. So, well, if you have any jerseys that you don't want up, but you want me to put them up in the man cave, then I'll be more than happy to. I got Barry Sanders there, Dan Marino there, Favre there, Tom Brady there, Reggie Miller, Adam Sandler from The Longest Yard. So there's
all this runaround, and all you had to do is ask me for a jersey. You don't have to go around the room
My bad.
Just ask, Dan.
Okay. If you got a jersey and you want to donate it to the man cave, we'd love to.
I'll send you a jersey.
That'd be great. All right.
Tell Fritz it's coming his way.
You know what? I'll get the FedEx number and send it to you.
There you go.
All right. Thank you. Hey, great to talk to you, buddy.
Thanks, Dan.